All right, so we are holding on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, seventh line. We said in the Mishnah that in times of the Beis Mikdash, they took the lulav sometimes for all 7 days of Sukkot, sometimes for only 6 days, because we said only if the first day comes out on Shabbos, is it do we take lulav that day? Otherwise, we have Zeder Derabah, that says that you shouldn't take lulav on Shabbos because you might carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. We said the reason for that was because since the first day is Minat Torah, so therefore the Chachamim wanted to keep it. So therefore, even outside the Beis Mikdash, the Chachamim didn't want to be gozer to prevent you from taking it. So that was in the time of the Beis Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, "I hachi ha'idna nami?" If so, if that's the idea, if that's the reason. So therefore, so we would take lulav even on Shabbos if it's the first day. Then why only in the time of the Beis Mikdash? Then if so, the same rule should apply nowadays. If the first day Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, then it should be then we should be able to take lulav. The answer is anan lo yad inid b'kibur diyacha. The answer is we outside Eretz Yisrael don't know the actual kvius of when Yom Tov. Of when Rosh Chodesh is. After all, we live in Chutz Laaretz, as the Gemara was going to ask in a second about Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Laaretz, we don't know what day they were actually the Kaddish the Chodesh, and therefore, is today really the 15th of Tishrei, or is it maybe only the 14th? So therefore, we don't do it. And instead, well, and now that's the whole reason, after all, why we have 2 days Yom Tov. In fact, Tosfos points out nowadays that we have a loch kavua. Of course, we do know when the kriyos is. The fact that we continue to do 2 days of Yom Tov, well, we're going to learn in Masechta Beitza, which is the next Masechta that we're going to learn, that's the Shem, so we'll get to this in a couple of weeks, that the Chachamim still told us to act as though we don't know, because the official reason is, what if there's a gzera by the shmad, by the government, and then we lose track of what day Yom Tov is supposed to be? That's the official reason why we keep 2 days Yom Tov. The Gemara also mentions over there the concept of minig habaseinu, of minig habaseinu b'yadeinu. Anyway, so when we say that we don't know kibur diyarcha, we mean originally that's how it was in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore even now that we do know, we still continue to do that way. So therefore, we can't take lulav on the first day. Even if it's on Shabbos. So what about the question is inu diyadi b'kibur diyarcha? Nu, so the people of Eretz Yisrael who do know when the kvius is, they're within range of. Now remember, the reason why we have 2 days Yom Tov outside Eretz Yisrael in the first place is because with most Yom Tovim, is because as soon as Beis Din would be mekadesh the Chodesh, they would send out shluchim to inform everybody when Rosh Chodesh is, but it took time for them to travel. And in particular, during Tishrei, there could be as few as 10 days travel time that they have until Sukkot. Because there's only 14 days from Rosh Hashanah until the beginning of Sukkot, and you could have two of them are Rosh Hashanah, and one of them is Yom Kippur, and another one could be a Shabbos. So the rule became that any place that's more than 10 days, that's more than 10 days journey from Yerushalayim has to keep 2 days. And in fact, this was Shlosha Parakim of Rambam a few days ago. He discusses all of this issue in great detail. Anyway, the point is, within 10 days, the people in Eretz Yisrael, specifically, now the Rambam has a shita, by the way, that even within Eretz Yisrael itself, he says, not all places does the Rambam say keep 1 day. If you have, let's say, a new city that was built someplace in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rambam, they would in fact have to keep 2 days. The Minhag HaOlam is not like that. The everybody in Eretz Yisrael keeps only 1 day in any part of Eretz Yisrael. They have a question about certain cities on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, like for example Eilat, whether they should keep 1 or 2 days. But I think even they, in general, keep only 1 day. But in any case, the people in Eretz Yisrael who know when Rosh Chodesh was, so they know for sure that today is the 15th. So lidchu, so shouldn't it be Doicha Shabbos for them, and they should be able to take Lulav and Esrog on that day? I think Gemara says, Einoch Hanami. Indeed it would, and indeed for them they would be able to. Now, Tosfos hurries to tell us, don't think that that remains the maskana. You're going to wonder to yourself, based on what the Gemara is saying over here, so then how come you never heard of anybody in Eretz Yisrael nowadays taking lulav on the first day of Yom Tov when it comes out on Shabbos? We'll get to later in the Gemara that it's not in fact so. But right now, at this point in the sugya, the Gemara is saying yes. In fact, it would. And in fact, the Tani Choda, we know this because we have two Mishnayos, the Tanan Choda, really. We have one Mishnah that said, B'yom Tov Rishon Shochag, Shechalis V'Shabbos, Kola Omei Lichnas Lulvein Lahar HaBayis. Our Mishnah said that if the first day comes out on Shabbos, then everybody would bring their Lulavim to the Har HaBayis ahead of Shabbos. The Tanya, or Tanan Idoch, Lebeis HaKnesses. And then in the previous Perek, we had a different Mishnah that said that everybody would bring them to Shul. Now, why would you have one says to bring it to the Beis Mikdash and the other one says it to Shul? Shmamina. Therefore, we can deduce from that. Kan bizman she Beis Mikdash kayim, kan bizman she ein Beis Mikdash kayim. So one is when the Beis Mikdash is standing, they bring it to the Harabayis. The other one is when the Beis Mikdash is not standing, then they bring it to Shul. Shmamina. So that proves that, at least at this stage of the discussion, that yes, in Eretz Yisrael, in fact, they would take Lulav on the first day of Sukkot when it comes out on Shabbos. Okay. Now we said before in the discussion that the first day is Minat Torah everywhere in the world. And therefore we said that when the Beis Mikdash was standing, then the Chachamim did not, and according to what the Gemara is saying now, in Eretz Yisrael, even after the Churban, they do in fact take Lulav on the first day if it comes out on Shabbos. The Isay Minat Torah B'Gvulin Minolon, where do we see that taking Lulav on the first day is everywhere in the world is Daraisa. So the Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, let's go through the words of the pasuk, because there's a Wakachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon. So let's analyze those. Wakachtem means Shetei Lekicha B'yad Kol Echad V'Echad. The word Wakachtem means that each person has to take Lulav individually. Don't think that one person can be Motzi a bunch of people. And we talked about a few days ago the reason why we need to be told that. Why should it be any different, let's say, than Tefillin? Nobody can put on Tefillin for you. Why would we think somebody could take Lulav and Esther for you? So we said a few reasons, one of them being that since it's compared to the Korbanos, maybe it should be like the Korbanos, that one person brings them by, one small group brings them on behalf of the Tzibur, maybe because they're meant to ask Hashem for plentiful rain, so it's enough that Beis Din does it on our behalf. No, the Braisa is telling us that each person has to take it individually. The word lochem means mishalochem, means it has to belong to you. Lohoti is a shol vs a gadol, meaning as opposed to, you can't use a lulav that was borrowed or stolen. We discussed that in detail in the previous parak. When it continues, bayoyim, when it says bayoyim harishon, bayoyim means v'afilu b'shabbos. You take lulav and esrog even if it comes out on Shabbos. Because by yom, it actually says means any day. Otherwise, it would have said barishon. Rishon afilu begvulin, and the word rishon teaches us that this is true even outside Eretz Yisrael. But instead of rishon, it says horishon melamed she'en doichel yom tov rishon bavad. So from that, you learn that it's only doichel the first day of yom tov, not the other day. Okay, so that's the braisa. So therefore, we see from that that taking lulav everywhere in the world is a chiyuv on the first day of the first day of Yom Tov everywhere in the world, and therefore the Chachamim didn't want to apply Gzeira Deraba when the Beis Mikdash was standing at least anywhere in the world, and they, well, not anywhere in the world. We said in Chutzpah that the problem is they don't know Kibur D'Yarcha, so therefore we don't. But if we did, in principle in Chutzpah, if we did, then we would in fact take it on that first day. Hagoyes Habach, by the way, points out that the Gemara in Psachim uses this word Harishon for a different drasha. Actually, it talks about over there how we know in connection with Pesach that we have to get rid of chametz on erev Pesach rather than on the first day of chametz rather than on the first day of Pesach. We talk over there about the schar shloisha rishon zochu the shloisha rishon and the schus of three mitzvahs that we do on which it says Harishon. Then we're zoicha to binyan beis mikdash, and then cutting off and then destroying Amalek and so forth. But here the Gemara is taking the word harishon for the drashas over here that we're saying that it means even begvulin and even only on the first day of Yom Tov. Anyway, so now let's analyze that braisa. So Amamar bayoyim va'afilu b'Shabbos. We said that the word bayoyim means that you take lulav and esrog even on Shabbos. So the question is why? What do we even need a pasuk for? Mechti tilto ba'almahu. Let's consider, picking up the lulav and esrog is only tilto, it's only handling something which otherwise we might have thought is mukta, and that whole thing is only dirabanan. It's tichkro the mishri tilto. Do we need a pasuk to tell us that you're allowed to handle something which the handling of it itself, if it was going to be osir, would be only osir dirabanan? That we don't have psukim that tell us that you're allowed to that you're allowed to do something dirabanan, because when the Torah was given, the dirabanan didn't exist yet. So what do we mean? The answer is, you're right. The word bayom is not really needed to teach us that you're allowed to take lulav on Shabbos. Of course you are. There's no reason that Daraisi wouldn't be able to. The point is that we need to be told that also machshire lulav, meaning the various things that are needed to prepare the lulav, are also Dercha Shabbos. For example, Rashi says, let's say if you don't have a lulav yet, so you go and chop one off the tree, or you bind it together, which is the malacha of kosher. So that you should be allowed to do such things when the first day comes out on Shabbos. Ba'alibid, the high Tana. So this brisa then goes according to the Tana. The Tanya lulav v'chomachshir of deichanes Shabbos divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that not only the lulav is deichanes Shabbos, but so do all of its machshirin. The same way as we learned in Masechta Shabbos that he holds that as far as Mila, that Mila is Dercha Shabbos, of course, as we know, Mila Bismana, that is, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that all the Machshirim are also. So let's say you don't have a knife, then Rabbi Eliezer will allow you to carry one in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or even to manufacture one on Shabbos if necessary. And the same way a number of other mitzvahs, in Pesachim, we talked about, for example, the Korban Pesach, everybody agrees, is Dercha Shabbos, if Pesach comes out on Shabbos. But Rabbi Eliezer goes beyond that and says even the machshirim are deicha Shabbos. Let's say to bring it from outside. The tchum or whatever. So the same thing over here. He says not only lulav is deicha Shabbos, but also the machshirim. That we need the word bayom to tell us that. Okay. Well, then the question is. Well, first of all, my time is the Rabbi Eliezer. So why does Rabbi Eliezer say that? Well, because we said amakro bayom ba'afilu b'Shabbos. Because the pasuk says it says. So by yom means even on Shabbos. Fine. But Rabbanon high by yom my abule. The Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, we have in all those places, in particular, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer and says that only the mitzvah itself is Dercha Shabbos, the machshirim do not. So according to him and according to the other Chachamim, what are we doing with the word by yom? The answer is mibayle by yom vele belayla. They need it to say that you take lulav by day and not by night. Fine. So then where does Rabbi Eliezer learn that from? He also agrees, of course, that you don't take lulav by night. So where does he get that from? So the answer is naskalemi sefer. Instead, he's going to learn that from the continuation of the pasuk. Just be sefer to krua. Because the pasuk continues. Shivas yomim. You should rejoice in front of Hashem for 7 days. So there, it means also yomim v'loy leilas. And once it says, now that part we said refers to in the Beis Hamikdash that they take lulav for 7 days. But once we establish that in the Beis Hamikdash it's only for the 7 days, then we understand by the same token that earlier in the pasuk, when it's talking about everywhere else, it also means only during the daytime. So he's going to learn it from that way. So he doesn't need the word bayoyim for that purpose. So he has the word bayoyim available to teach us about machshirim. V'rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer to that? They say, imei hosam, yeah, but if you only had the word usmachtam lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yomim, you actually wouldn't know that it means only the daytime. Hava amina leilof yomim yomim misukah. You would think to make gzeira shava on the word yomim from sukkah. Malahalan yomim v'afilu leilos, just like the sukkah is, the mitzvah of sukkah is in effect both by day and by night. Afkan yomim nami yomim v'afilu leilos, over here also you would think that lulav and esrog should be taken by night as well. So the word yomim itself, we wouldn't know one way or the other. Therefore, we need by yom harishon to tell us that no, it's only by day. Well then, with sukkah gufa minolon. So now let's figure out how, first of all, do we know by sukkah itself that it is both by day and by night, such that then they would think to learn gzeira shava from it to lulav and esrog. In fact, Tosfos points out, now we could very say very simply, Teshvu Kein Taduru. We learned in the second parak. You sit in your sukkah you live in your house by day and by night. Therefore, on those grounds alone, you have to live in the sukkah by day and by night. Tosfos says no, because after all, we also said over there, we also discussed over there in the second parak, the question, are women chayiv in sukkah? And we said no, because the mitzvah says Shazman Groma. I teshvu kein daduru. That doesn't include that doesn't include that point. That doesn't include the fact that that you have to live in the sukkah together with your wife. So we can't just learn it from teshvu kein daduru. We need a different source to know that when it comes to sukkah, it applies by day and by night. So now, once we establish that, then we can talk about why the fact that we don't learn Gzeira Shava from it to Lulav and Esrog. So how do we know? So the Sukkah Gufa Manolon. So when it comes to the Sukkah itself, how do we know that the mitzvah is to sit in it both by day and by night? So the Torah Abanan. We can learn it based on the following braisa. The pasuk is Vasukas Teishu Shivas Yomim. You should live in the Sukkahs for 7 days. Now that means Yomim Vafilu Leilos. That means the days as well as the nights. After Oimer Yomim Vafilu Leilos. Now you were saying it means the nights as well. Maybe not. Maybe Sukkah applies only by day. And in fact, Vidinhu. And in fact, we can learn it by Gzeira Shava. Nema Kan Yomim Venema Vululav Yomim. Because here it says Yomim, which means. Here it says yomim, and it means, and we're going to say it means only the daytime. By lulav also it says yomim. Malahalan yomim v'lo leilus, hapkan yomim v'lo leilus. So therefore, we might assume that by sukkah you only sit in it by day. Oy klach l'derech zu, but maybe not. Continues the braisa. Maybe you need to go in a different direction. Never kan yomim v'never b'miluim yomim. Another place where it says the word yomim is by the miluim. Where at the end of Parashas Tzav, Moshe tells Aaron and his sons, "O Pesach, oy omoyed teishvu yomim v'layla shivas yomim." And there it spells out that it's day and night. It says yomim v'layla. So maybe we should learn like that. Malahalan yomim v'afkilu leilus, afkan yomim v'afkilu leilus. Maybe therefore the sukkah we compare to the milurim and say that it applies by day and by night. Well, so now we have two possibilities. We can learn from lulav or we can learn from milurim. Which should we learn from? Nidah l'midoma. Let's start using logic. Which one does sukkah more resemble? Don in davash mitzvasei kol hayom, davash mitzvasei kol hayom. Let's learn something that applies the entire day from something that applies the entire day. Namely, sukkah from miluim. The sukkah applies all day long. There's no particular reason to say that it applies only one time during the day. Miluim also, they had to be there in front of the oyel moed all the time. Rather than learning from lulav, which applies only one time during the day. You take it one time during the day, and that's it. You're yotze. Oy klach l'derech zu, but still maybe not. Maybe go in the other direction. Done in davash mitzvasi the dirtus, we davash mitzvasi the dirtus. Maybe on the other hand, we should learn something that applies for all generations from something else that applies for all generations. Sukkah and lulav both continue to apply even now. Whereas the miluim only are a one time thing. So no matter what, so we end up with so far. We can't just use logic to say which one we would learn from. We have two possible gzeira shavas. Now remember, you know, we've talked about previously. It's true that in adam don gzeira shava me'atmei, a person cannot come up with a gzeira shava on his own. But sometimes what was learned that what a rebbe taught his talmidim regarding gzeira shavas, the kabbalah that he taught him that he needs to know in order to be able to darish an gzeira shava, there were different kinds. Sometimes the Kabbalah was only that there's a word yomim that is used for Gzeira Shava, but without clarifying which yomim it is. And then the Talmud is meant to deduce it with logic. So now we're in that situation. We tried to deduce it with logic, but we have equally valid logic to learn from Lulav or from Miluim. So what do we do? Therefore, Talmud Lomar, so therefore the Pasuk breaks the logjam for us by saying, Teishvu, Teishvu, the Gzeira Shava. You have a different Gzeira Shava on the word Teishvu, which doesn't apply to Lulav. Nema kan Teishvu, for Nema bin Luim Teishvu. Where here it says Teishvu, and by the Miluim it also says Teishvu. Therefore, Malahal and Yomim after the Leilas. So just like the Sukkah applies, just like the Miluim applies to the days and the nights. And that we know because it says Yomim Valayla. So Afkan Yom Vakilu Leilus, so the same thing is going to apply to the Sukkah. Tosfos actually points out, it's not exactly the same. The fact is, by the Miluim, they couldn't actually sleep in the Azara. So when it says Teishvu Yom Vakilu, it doesn't mean they would actually sleep there in the Azara. That would say they could sleep in a chamber nearby at the beginning of Yuma. It talks about the beginning of Yuma. It talks about how the Kohen Gadol would stay in a chamber in the Beis Mikdash for 7 days before Yom Kippur. And the Gemara brings over there the whole matter of the Miluyim in a similar vein. So it's not exactly the same, because after all, you can't sleep in the Azara. But the point is still that it does apply by night. As long as they were up by night, they had to stay in the Azara, and when they were going to bed, they would sleep someplace in a room or something right next to the Azara. So we learn from that to Sukkah that it applies by day and by night. So now that we know that, now we said we would have thought in turn to then still use the Gzeira Shava on the word Yomim to learn from that it applies to Lulav and Esrog as well. And so the Chacham is saying that's why it needs to say by Yomim to tell us that not. So therefore, the Bayoim is not available to teach us anything about Machshir Lulav, and in fact, the Chacham hold that Machshir Lulav are not Doicha Shabbos, and in general, Machshirim of a Mitzvah are not Doicha Shabbos. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Arava Shiva Ketzad.
From Miluim, the Torah says clearly, Yom Velayla. Isn't that a basis to say that after all, the Torah will say, every time it says Yom and Valala, it's going to be by night and by day. And when it doesn't, it's going to be only by day.
No, because that's what Gzeira Shava is for. Gzeira Shava is to tell us that once it says something explicitly by one place, then we're going to learn from it for other places. However, so over here, we are in fact learning from it to Sukkah. We're not learning Sukkah from Lulav, as we thought. But that's what the Gzeira Shava tells us. Instead of having to specify Yom and Valayla by each din, the Torah specifies it by one, and we learn from it to a different place by Gzeira Shava, where it also says Yomim. That's what we're saying in the end. We're learning from that to Sukkah. We would have thought to also use that to learn from there to Yomim by Lulav and Esrog, and we're saying no, because there it says by Yom HaRishon, excluding, according to the Chacham say, that excludes therefore the night. We said in the Mishnah, Rava Shiva Ketzad, we said
that.
So again, once it says in one place, Yom Valayla, the Torah does not have to specify it by each place. Instead, that's what we do. That's what we have Gzeira Shava for. So the Gzeira Shava then tells us to apply that also to Sukkah. We would have then thought in turn that from Sukkah we should apply it to Lulav. And the answer is no, because by Lulav it says by Yom HaRishon, and by Yom means only by day, not by night. So instead of you're saying that it could have said Yom Valayla by Sukkah, it could have, but instead that's the normal way. That's how Gzeira Shava works, that the Torah will say a detail in one place and we learn from that to all the other places.
No, I understand. I understand the Gzeira Shava, but who says that you need a Gzeira Shava? Who says that the Torah doesn't in fact mean if it doesn't say by Laila, it's only by day?
Well, that's why ain't none of them done Gzeira Shava Ma'atma. That's why a person can't learn a Gzeira Shava on their own. They have to have received it from their Rebbe. In this case, the Chachamim received from their Rebbeim that there is a Gzeira Shava from the word Yomim. And we just have to figure out what are the two ends of Gzeira Shava. So that's what we were saying before. We could have thought, we know that one end is by Sukkah, which is what we're trying to learn. We could have thought the other end is by Miluim. We could have thought instead it's by Lulav and Esrog. And now we have, in the end, we're saying that because of a different Zeta Shava, Teshvu is how we're learning from Miluim. Then the Yomim, in fact, we would, so what it is the Maskana, we're not using the Zeta Shava Yomim. Instead, we're only using the Zeta Shava of Teshvu, which it says by Miluim and which it says by Sukkah, to teach us that both of them apply by day and by night. In the end, we're not using the Gzeira Shava Yomim, or if we're using it, we're using it for something else, because we would have used that to learn from Sukkah to Lulav, and we're not doing that because, in fact, Sukkah applies by day and by night, and Lulav does not. Okay, so let's go on. The Mishnah had said, Arava Shiva Ketzad, that we said there's a mitzvah of Arava, which the mitzvah of Arava has a few different parts, as we're going to be discussing in the Gemara over here. We're going to learn in further Mishnayos in this Perek that the first part of it is they would take Aravas and stand them up around the Mizbeach. Then what they would do is they would circle around the Mizbeach, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara what they would circle around the Mizbeach with. Is it holding their Lulav and Esrog, or is it holding these Aravas? Tosfos, by the way, says that in fact it wouldn't be everybody circles around the Mizbeach, because Yisraelim and Levim are not allowed to go into the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. If they're circling around the entire Mizbeach, then it comes out they're going into that area and they're not allowed to do that. So rather what it would be is only the Kohenim would be circling around the Mizbeach. Most Rishonim agree with that, although there are a few Rishonim who say that maybe Yisraelim would circle as well. Anyway, that's one part of the mitzvah, is the standing up the Aravos around the Mizbeach and circling the Mizbeach, holding the Lulav and Esrog, or holding the Aravos, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. The other part of the mitzvah is beating them on the ground on Hashana Rabbah. So we said in the Mishnah, as far as the part that takes place every day in the time of the Bais Mikdash, which is putting them around them, putting the Aravos around the Mizbeach, and then circling around the Mizbeach. By the way, this that we do Hoshinus every day is a zecher of that. We do the same thing. We take our Lulav and Esrog and we circle the Bima in the Bais Mikdash. We do it one time on each day, and the Bima in the Shul. We do it one time each day of Sukkot and seven times on Hoshana Rabbah, which is just like they did in the Bais Mikdash, where every day, as the Mishnah is going to tell us later, that every day they would do one Sukkot around the Mizbeach, and on Hoshana Rabbah they would do seven Sukkot. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, Arava Shiva Ketzad, that there's a case where you do the mitzvah of Arava, the standing the Aravos around the Mizbeach and the walking around the Mizbeach. There's a case where you do it on Shabbos as well, namely when Hoshana Rabbah comes out on Shabbos. Otherwise, you don't do it on Shabbos. So therefore, some years you have 7 days of Arava and some years you have only six. So Arava B'Shvi, my time of Dachya Shabbos. So the question is now, why on the seventh day is the Arava Doicha Shabbos that we say that we do it even on Shabbos? So the reason is in order to publicize that it is Minat Torah, as the Gemara is going to mention further down on the Omud. The fact is it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah this mitzvah of Arava. We're going to have a discussion in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We also had it briefly on Daf Lamed Dalet, where we learn it from. Do we learn it from the word Arvei, that it says Arvei Nochal in connection with the Dalet Minim, and that means that we learn that there's two kinds of Arava, one for the Lulav and one for the ceremony? Or is it that we learn? Or is it that it's halachah l'moshe m'sinai? Either way, it doesn't say explicitly in Chumash, and therefore, in fact, as the Gemara is going to say further down on the Amud, the Baitusim fought against it. So therefore, we want to publicize that it is in fact minat Torah, this mitzvah, and therefore, in what we make one scenario where you're going to do it on Shabbos, namely when Hoshana Rabbah is Shabbos. Although, as the Gemara is going to say further, the Gemara is going to say soon that not necessarily did that kavius ever happen. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. Okay. So the question is, Yehochi lulav nami lidchi kedi the fire sumer shumen atzera. No, then why don't we say the same thing by lulav and say that even if it, that after all 7 days, it's a mitzvah to take the lulav for 7 days in this mitzvah, as we said before. So and after all. And it's true, the Pasuk says you should take the Dalad Minim or smach them lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yomim, but you wouldn't necessarily realize from that, Rashi says, that the shivas yomim means the simcha of taking the lulav. You would think it means some other kind of simcha. So therefore, maybe if any day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we should take lulav and esrog in shul. Why are we saying, only? We said before, only if it was on the first day? And the answer is fine. Lulav zeder mishum derabah. Okay, but we don't want to do the lulav of the other days. We already said, because of Rabba's gzera that we talked about yesterday, because a person may forget that it's Shabbos and he needs to go to a baki to teach him how to make the bracha or how to shake the lulav, and then he's going to carry it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. Well, then the question is, Yehochi Arava Nami Nigzer, nu, then why don't we make the same gzera as far as the Arava? The answer is, Arava Shluchei based in Maisila, because the difference is, the Arava is brought by the Shluchei based in. They bring it before Shabbos, so they go later on in the parak. We're going to talk about that how they did it. They go down, they go and cut very tall branches of Aravos, go place them around the Mizbeach. So they're doing all that ahead of Shabbos, they're not actually putting them around the Mizbeach ahead of Shabbos. They dry up, but the Mishnah describes later in the parak. Fine, they would put them in golden barrels full of water in order to keep fresh, and then the next day they'd put them up. But the point is that it's not that every person has the mitzvah to do it. The Kohenim go around the Mizbeach, but not everybody else. So Tosfos explains the ideas. In other words, koyanim zrizim heim. If we said that everybody has to go around the mizbeach with the arabas, then yeah, you might have Yisraelim who are going to go on Shabbos to learn how to do that and carry it for amos and rishis rabbim. But since it applies only to koyanim, then we're not worried about that. As opposed to wool of an esrog applies to everybody, both Yisraelim as well as koyanim. So by the Arava, we have less concern because the Shluchei Beis didn't bring it. So therefore, they're bringing it Erev Shabbos to the Beis Mikdash. And it's only, Rashi goes on to say, that only not everybody is circling around the Mizbeach with them, only the Kohenim. Therefore, there's less reason to be concerned that anybody is accidentally going to be Mechal Shabbos. Whereas Lulav Lakol Masur, whereas Lulav is everybody's responsibility. Everybody takes Lulav individually. So therefore, you have more concern that somebody may forget and go and carry it outdoors on Shabbos. So the question then, so that's why when it comes to the Arava, then we're able to do it on Shabbos because there's less likelihood that a regular person is going to be Mechal Shabbos as a result of it. So the question is, Yehochi Kol Yom Nami Lifi. Well then, by that logic, why don't we say that any day of Sukkot that comes out on Shabbos, then we take the Arovas. Why only when Hashanah Rabbah comes out on Shabbos do we do that? The answer is, but then you have the opposite problem. Because people are going to then get careless with the lulav. People are going to think, you know what? Lulav is only Deucha Shabbos one day. Arava is Deucha Shabbos every day of Sukkot. So people are going to start thinking that lulav is not an important mitzvah. Now, so on the one hand, it's true, it says lulav in the Torah, therefore we don't have to be mechazik it as much. Whereas Arava, it doesn't say in the Torah, therefore we have to be mechazik it. But on the other hand, we don't want to be mechazik Arava more than lulav, and people are going to think that one is more important than the other, so therefore we don't want to do that. Fine. So then the question is, v'litchi b'chad mehanach. In that case, then let's pick a random day during Sukkot and say, whichever day that is, it's going to be Deucha Shabbos. Why do we dafka say Hashanah Rabbah? The answer is okay. Kibin to kamakas lamerishin oikmashvi. Because once we are ready, I skipped the line. Relidchi biyomtiv vishin. Why by lulav we said that it's doicha Shabbos only when the first day is Shabbos. Why with Arava don't we say the same thing? Why don't we say that if the first day Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, then we do lulav and esrog. We also do Arava. And the answer is loy muchacha milsa. Because then it's not going to be so obvious that we're doing it that we're being Deucha Shabbos for the sake of the Arava. Amri, because people are going to think, Lulav Hu de Kadachi, the people are going to think, you know what's going on. You were already Deucha Shabbos for the sake of Lulav. As we said before, we don't apply Gzeira Deraba on that day. So once we're overriding Shabbos for Lulav, then by the way, the Arava comes along with it as well. People are not going to realize that Arava is an important mitzvah and that it's Minat Torah, as we're going to discuss tomorrow. And therefore, that it alone has a reason to be Deucha Shabbos. People are going to think it's just a hanger on to the Lulav. Therefore, we don't want to do Arava on the first day when it comes out on Shabbos. Fine. So then, why dafka the first day? Let's pick some other day during Sukkot and say that if it comes out on Shabbos, then it's Deucha. Why don't we say why dafka the seventh day? And the answer is okay, kibin to kamak, the slumberish and oikmashvi. Because once we can't do it the first day, because we said then there's not going to be any hecker to it, then already the next sensible day to establish it is the seventh. Because the seventh, after all, is a defined thing. Rashi says you want to do it either at the beginning of the Yom Tov or the end. If you can't do it at the beginning for the reason that we said, then the next logical time to do it is at the end. And that way it shows people that it's an important mitzvah and it has its own reason to be Deucha Shabbos. So again, we're not going to do it every day because we don't want people to be careless about the lulav. But the seventh day, at least you have the 2 days that bookend the Yom Tov. If you did it during one of the other days, then it wouldn't show. Then it wouldn't show such chashivus. All right. So the question is, Yehochi ha'idna nami lifti. Then now we have the same question as we had before regarding lulav and esrog. Why is it we who live in Chutz Laaretz? Why don't we also do the Arava? Now we don't do the part of putting the Aravas around the Mizbeach, of course, because we have no Mizbeach, but we still do the part of beating the Aravas on the ground, which we'll talk about in more detail about that part tomorrow, Best Hashem. So why don't we do that? So why don't we do that on the seventh day of Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, if it comes out on Shabbos. And the reason is, Rashi says, at least Shluchei Beis Din should be doing it. Fine, maybe we wouldn't say every person individually does it, but why don't we at least say that Shluchei Beis Din come and do it? And the answer is, again, Anan lo yadin and b'kibur d'yarcha. Again, the reason is because we, Bnei Chutbarat, don't know that for sure today is the seventh day of Sukkot. It might only be the sixth day. And again, the question is, inu d'yadi b'kibur d'yarcha l'chi. So then people in Eretz Yisrael who do know the Kriyos, it should be d'yarcha for them. So the answer is, so the key also Bahedya Omar, when Bahedya came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he says, in principle, maybe it would, but as a matter of fact, Loy Ikwa, as a matter of fact, Hoshana Rabbah never comes out on Shabbos. So the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, who are responsible for Kiddush HaChodesh, they would always manipulate things to make sure that Hoshana Rabbah never comes out on Shabbos. If things were such that it was going to, meaning, in other words, so what happens? How would Hoshana Rabbah come out on Shabbos? Meaning, if they would declare Rosh Hashanah on Sunday. So let's say the moon was visible on Matzoi Shabbos, and then the next day, Sunday, they'd be sitting, and Edim would come, and they'd say, Mekodesh HaChodesh, and now today is Sunday's Aleph Tishrei. So then Chof Aleph, which is Hoshana Rabbah, would come out on Shabbos. Instead, they would manipulate things in advance. They would make sure that Elul was going to be a 30-day month. And therefore, so now the 30th of Elul is going to come out on Sunday. The 1st of Tishrei will be on Monday. And Hoshana Rabbah will come out on Sunday then. So they would make sure to do that. In fact, Tosfos refers to Yerushalmi that says just that. The Yerushalmi says that Reb Simon would tell, now you have certain members of the Sanhedrin whose particular job was to make the calculations when they should be Mekadosh HaChodesh and when not. We know that Rambam tells us in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, it was in Shlosha Prakim of Rambam these last few days, that Beis Din would calculate very accurately to find out when and where the moon is going to be visible. So you have members of the Sanhedrin that was their specialty, and they would be working that out and figuring out. The rule is always that Amnam says you want to make sure to make it, if you're going to make a Chodesh Malay, you want to make sure that the following month the moon is going to be visible no earlier than the night after the 29th. You always want to have that the Leil HaRe'iyah is going to be the 29th if it's going to be. So you don't want that it should be on the 28th or 27th or whatever. So therefore, so Reb Simon would tell the people who are in charge of those calculations, try to arrange it that neither Rosh Hashanah nor Hoshana Rabbah should come out on Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, you're going to be doing in advance, but back during Tammuz and Av and Elul, you're going to be making sure to manipulate the lengths of the months appropriately, such that looking ahead, it shouldn't come out that the Leil HaRe'iyah of Tishrei will be on Friday night or on Matzoi Shabbos. But then he goes on to say, if there's really no choice, if you're stuck and you have to do it one of those, better to let Rosh Hashanah be on Shabbos than Hoshana Rabbah. And Tosfos explains the reason is because, after all, Shofar and Lulav are Daraisa. So therefore, there's less concern that if they happen one year on Shabbos, that people are going to forget the mitzvah. They won't forget it because they won't forget it, especially because nowadays, we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and that applies even in Eretz Yisrael. So we're not missing out Shofar for the year altogether. We'll blow on the second day. And Lulav, again, once we have Rabbi Yechim and Zakai's Takana, that you take Lulav everywhere in the world for 7 days, so fine, we'll have other days to do it. As opposed to the Arava is only the Arava and the Bais Mikdash, we said, is Minat Torah. The beating of the Arava, we're going to say in the Gemara tomorrow, is Minag Nevi'im. So if 1 year it happens on Shabbos and we can't do it, there's no other day to do it, and it might be forgotten altogether. So therefore, we want to do that. There is, in fact, interestingly, there's a tshuva from Rashi where he points out that, look, what's a scenario where we're saying, where Reb Simon is telling them you might be stuck and you might not have a choice but to allow one of them to come out on Shabbos? Rashi in a tshuva gives a scenario. Imagine that the Moilud of Tishrei comes out on Thursday afternoon. Now, you can't have Rosh Hashanah on Thursday, because if the Moilud is in the afternoon, there's no way the moon is going to be visible that night. And in fact, we have one of the rules in the Luach HaKavur that we use nowadays is just that. If the Moilud of Tishrei comes out on any day after Chatzos, then we push off Rosh Hashanah to the next available day. So in this scenario, for example, if the Moilud is on Thursday afternoon, Rosh Hashanah that year is going to be Shabbos. Now, let's go back to when they did Alpiriya. What's going to happen? So you can't make Rosh Hashanah, you can't make Rosh Hashanah then to be Friday, because you can't make it to be Thursday, because the moon is not going to be visible. It can't be Friday. It can't be, because again, the moon is not going to be visible Thursday night, so the Adim can't come Friday morning. If you're going to want to make it on Shabbos, you're not going to want to, because you don't want Rosh Hashanah to be on Shabbos, so you don't miss Shofar. But then you're not going to be able to make it on Sunday either, because again, if Rosh Hashanah is Sunday, Hashanah Rabba is Shabbos, and you're not going to want to do that either. You're going to have to delay Rosh Hashanah all the way to Monday, and that's not going to look good. You can't have so long between the Moilad. You can't have so long between the moon, when the moon is first visible, and Rosh Hashanah. So again, the Rambam uses an expression in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that imagine you had a bunch of Chadashim Meleim one after the other, and then by the end of the year, you have the moon is visible on the night after the 25th or the 26th. It would look ridiculous. So the same way over here, you can't delay Rosh Hashanah all the way. If the Molad was Thursday afternoon, you can't delay it all the way to Monday. So that would be an example where you have to pick the least worst option. Are we going to allow Rosh Hashanah to be on Shabbos, or are we going to allow Hashanah Rabbah to be on Shabbos? So we definitely don't want Hashanah Rabbah to be on Shabbos. So in such a case, we have no choice. We're going to have to allow Rosh Hashanah to be on Shabbos. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so therefore, so Behedia is telling us that in fact, yes, in principle in Eretz Yisrael, if Hashanah Rabbah came out on Shabbos, then you would do the Arava on that day, but it doesn't happen. They never allow it to fall on Shabbos. On the other hand, Ki also Ravin v'chol Nechusi. On the other hand, when Ravin and all the other Nechusi came to Babel, Nechusi are the Chachamim who would travel back and forth. You have the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, you have the yeshivas in Babel. They had to have some way of keeping in touch. So you had Chachamim who regularly traveled between one and the other and would inform in one what they had learned in the other. So we have throughout Shas, we have many times where it says, when Rav Dimi came, he said such and such. When Ravin came, he said such and such. So here, first we had Behedia coming and telling us, and then we have Ravin and all the Nechusi who came. Rav Shuda Gaon points out there came a point in Eretz Yisrael when there was severe gzeiros and persecutions by the Romans. This is a few hundred years after the Churban. This is in the time of the Amoraim. So at that point, the Nechusi came to Babel and remained there. They didn't continue traveling back and forth between Babel and Eretz Yisrael because it was getting too dangerous in Eretz Yisrael. That would be the time that we're referring to over here. So Amri, so they said, Ikla, as a matter of fact, Hashanah Rabbah does sometimes come out on Shabbos, v'loy dochi. Nevertheless, even then, we don't do Arava when it comes out on Shabbos. So not like Behedia is saying that Hashanah Rabbah never comes out on Shabbos. In fact, sometimes it can, but even when it does, we don't do Arava on that day. So the question is v'elakasha. Well, then the question is, why not? Given that they know Kibur D'Yarcha, they know that today is in fact Hashanah Rabbah, why shouldn't it be Doicha Shabbos for them? So the answer is Omer Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef says, Man Leimel on Da'arova B'Detila. Because who says B'chlal that the mitzvah of Arova in the Beis Mikdash involved picking up the Arovas? That we should say that nowadays we should be allowed to pick up the Arovas as a Zecher for the Mikdash. Duma B'Skipa, maybe the whole mitzvah is just to put up Arovas around the Mizbeach. And nowadays, there's no Mizbeach. So in other words, we said before, they would take the Arovas and stand them up around the Mizbeach. Then they would march around the Mizbeach. We said, okay, not everybody, according to Rashi and Tosfos, only the Kohenim. But what are they holding in their hands while they march around the Mizbeach? Are they taking these Arovas and walking around with them, or are they not? So Rabbi Yosef says, who says Bechlal that if we said they were walking around with the Aravas, then fine. Nowadays we could talk about, should we do the same thing? Should we walk around the Bima with Aravas? But since we don't even know that back then the mitzvah was to walk around the Mizbeach holding Aravas, maybe the mitzvah was only to have the Aravas standing by the side of the Mizbeach. So there's nothing for it to be Doicha nowadays, because we're not putting Aravas around the Bima. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, what do you mean that the Arava did not involve taking it? Our Mishnah said, Lulav Arava Shisha V'Shiva. The Lulav and the Arava sometimes take place for 6 days and sometimes for 7 days. Now, and we said, because if the first day or the seventh day respectively comes out on Shabbos, my lav kilulav. Now l'chura, when the braisa is comparing, when the Mishnah is saying lulav arava, it's not only putting them together as far as the number of days, it's also showing a comparison between them. Ma lulav benetila, af arava benetila. Just like lulav, you actually pick up and hold the same way the arava. So that would show that yes, there is a mitzvah to hold the arava. And now we're back to the question. So why in Eretz Yisrael, if as Rovin says, Hashanah Rabba in Eretz Yisrael could in fact come out on Shabbos, then why don't they take a rabba on that day? And the answer is, the Gemara says, midi iria. What kind of a question is that? Hokid isay va hokid isay. And says Rabbi Yosef, no, each one means its own way. When we're comparing lulavar rabba, all we're saying is both of them have this in common, that sometimes they're 6 days and sometimes they're 7 days. Who says they have anything? And who says the Mishnah means to say that they have anything in common about how you do the mitzvah? One of them, you do the mitzvah by picking it up, the lulav and esrog. The other one, you do the mitzvah by placing it around the mizbeach, the aravos. Not necessarily is the Mishnah trying to compare them. Okay, eis v'abaya. But Abaya then continues to ask on Rabbi Yosef. The next Mishnah says, the next Mishnah describes how they did the arava in the Beis Hamikdash, and it says, b'chol yom makifin ha-mizbeach, es ha-mizbeach pa'am achas. Every other day of Sukkot, they would circle the Mizbeach one time, v'osayim sheva pa'amim. That day of Hashanah Rabbah, they would circle the Mizbeach 7 times, ma'ila v'arava. L'chora, if they're circling around the Mizbeach, means they're holding the arabas, means they would put the arabas next to the Mizbeach, and then each person is taking an arava and walking around the Mizbeach. So you see that the mitzvah of arava is with netilah. So the answer is loy belulav, not necessarily. Maybe it means they walked around the mizbeach holding their lulavim. So the question is, So Rav Nachman tells us that they did walk around with the arava. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, what's the problem? I'm allowed to disagree with him. We're both Amarayim. Who Amalach Ba'arava? I'm in a Belulav. He says you walked around with the Arava. I say, Rabbi Yosef, that you walked around with the Belulav. So according to me, therefore, so fine. You want to know why it's not Doicha Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael if Hashanah Rabbah comes out on Shabbos, given that we could do the same thing, walk around with the Bima, with Arabas. Fine, go ask Rabbi Nachman why he says that they did that. I hold that the question is not a question, l'chatchila. The only thing they did, and the only part of the mitzvah of Arava every day of Sukkot in the Beis Hamikdash was putting them around the Mizbeach. We have no Mizbeach, therefore we're not putting it around. So therefore, there's nothing to be Doicha Shabbos. So what, in fact, did they go around the Mizbeach with? Itmar. Rav Elazar omer b'lulav, Rav Shmuel bar Nasan omer Rav Chanina bar Arava. It's a machlokes between other Amoraim as well, whether they would walk around with the lulav or with the Arava. V'chein omer Rav Nachman, omer Rav Mavua bar Arava. So we have Rav Elazar and Rav Yosef hold lulav, Rav Shmuel bar Nasan and Rav Nachman say with the Arava. So omer le Rav le Rav Yitzchak b'rei de Rav Baba Chana. So Rava says to Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Rav Baba Chana, Bar Uriya, son of Torah. Uriya is like the word Uraisa, so it means Torah. So you are a Talmud Chacham yourself. In some other places, instead, the expression is Bar Arya, which means son of a lion. In other words, your father was like a lion in Torah, so now you're like his son. Tova Emalach Milsam Malsya. Now you said to have an Omer Avucha. Let me tell you a nice vote that your father said. That your father, Rav Baba Chana, said, "Hold it, Tznan." This that we learn in the next Mishnah, "Kol Yem Makifin Esam Esbeach," but Pam Achas, but Yisayim Makifin Esam Esbeach, Shabbat Pamim. That every other day of Sukkot they would circle the Esbeach once, and on the seventh, and on the Hashanah Rabba they did it 7 times. You should know, says Rava to Rabbi Yitzchak. Your father said in the name of Rabbi Lazar that they circle around the Esbeach with the lulav. So, in fact, it's now most poskim agree with that, and the result of that is that when we do hakafas around the bima, then we do it using the lulav. We still hold the lulav. There is a minority of rishonim who hold that, in fact, maybe the Gemara has not concluded unequivocally that it is with the lulav. Maybe in fact we do after all have opinions that say it's with the arava, and therefore they would say that you should have to do hakafas, that they should have to do hashinus rather holding the arava. Lamaisa, I don't know of any kahilas that do that. There is when it comes to hashinus on hashinah rabba. What it is so we have the hashinus that we say the 7 hashinus that we say circling around the bima, the 6 from the previous days as well as laman eson for hashinah rabba. Then we have a then After that, you have in the Velt, they have the minig. At some point, then you have a bunch of other tefillos that we say afterwards, the next few pages in the Seder. In the Velt, they have the minig. At some point during those, they put down the Dalad Minim and pick up the Arava, and then they hold it until the end, and then they beat it and say the Yehi Ratzon. Our minig is that we hold the Dalad Minim throughout all of those following Hashanahs, and only at the end, only when we finish the last one of them, Kedem Vasav Omer, only then do we put down the Dalad Minim and pick up the Arava and beat it. So we don't, in fact, hold it for any length of time at all, and we certainly don't circle around the bima with it. Okay. So Rabbi Yitzchak asks Rava, what do you mean that you circle around the mizbeach with the lulav? The question is going to be, what are you telling? The question is rather, Abaya is going to be asking Rabbi Yosef. You're still telling me, you're still insisting that there's no mitzvah of picking up the Aravas at all. But I'll show you from this Braisa that it is. The Braisa says, Lulav Deuches HaShabbos B'tchilosev Arava B'Sofer. The Lulav is Deuches Shabbos at the beginning. As we said, the first day Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, you take Lulav. The Arava is Deuches Shabbos at the end. As we said, if Hashanah Rabbah comes out on Shabbos, then you take the Arava. And Here's what happened. One time when Ms. Mithrash was still standing, Hashanah Rabbah came out on Shabbos. So they brought large, tall Aravas from Erev Shabbos. Later on, we're going to learn, the Gemara is going to explain that these Aravas were 11 amos tall, because they had to be tall enough to stand on the ground around the Mizbeach and for the edges of them to hang over the top of the Mizbeach. Since the Mizbeach was 10 amos tall, these Aravas had to be at least 11 amos tall. So one time, they brought these long branches of Aravah, Me'erev Shabbos, V'nichum Ba'azorah. They left them in the Azorah, as usual, because the next day on Shabbos, they're going to stand them up next to the Mizbeach. What happened? V'kiru behen Baitusim. The Baitusim saw that the Aravas were there. Now, the Baitusim are a subset of the Tzedukim. You have the famous thing, how did the Tzedukim come about? Is you have the Talmidim of Antigonus Yosef, named Tzedek and Baisus, where they heard him teaching what it says, what he brings in Pirkei Avos, that Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMashamash and Sarav HaManas L'Kav HaPras, that you should serve Hashem, Shaloy HaManas L'Kav HaPras. So they, or their Talmidim, whatever, misunderstood Antigonus to be saying that there is no Pras, there is no Schar V'Onish, and they developed a whole theology around that, which included rejecting pretty much all the things that are Bonon. So you have the Tzedukim from the Talmidim of Tzedek and the Baitusim from the Talmidim of Baitus. So in general in the Gemara it seems that Tzedukim and Baitusim are a little bit interchangeable. It seems maybe though not necessarily it seems there's various possibilities. Maybe the Tzedukim were the ones who were more the political side of things, and in fact there were times during the Second Mishmash when they had tremendous political power, and the Baitusim were more the ones who are working on the religious aspect of things. They were the ones, for example, over here we're saying as far as these Aravas, they were the ones, for example, where the Gemara brings in Menachos and then brings in Megillas Tainis, that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai argued with them about with the Korban Omer and Shavuos, whether those should be Sunday, whether those should be the day after the first day Pesach, and so forth. So it could be that that's the distinction. Anyway, in this case, these Baitusim saw the Aravas there, and they didn't want that it should be done. So they took these Aravas, v'kovshum tachas avonim, and they kovshu them under stones. Kovshu, Rashi brings two explanations. One is it means they hid them, and the other it means they covered them. Whatever the case, they put them under stones, knowing that the Chachamim hold by the dinim of Muktzah, and therefore they're not going to move them. So they figured this way, they're going to prevent people from being able to do the mitzvah of Arava on Shabbos. But Lamachri Kiruben Amea Oret, the next day the Amea Oret noticed what was going on over here. Now these Amea Oret were not so knowledgeable on the halachas of Shabbos. They didn't know about the issue of Muktzah. But on the other hand, Rashi says they were on the side of the Prushim, the Chachamim. So even though they themselves were Amei Ha'aretz, nevertheless, for the most part, they were on the side of the Prushim against the Baitusim, and they weren't going to allow these Baitusim to get away with this. So these Amei Ha'aretz were shomtum mitachas avonim. They took the Aravas out from under the stones, so they were moving the stones, which is an Isur Mukta, an Isur Tiltul, but they didn't realize that's what it is, but they saved the situation. The Kohenim took the Aravas and it put them around the Mizbeach as usual. And the reason why the reason why the Baitusim did this in the first place, because the Baitusim do not agree that the beating of the Arava is Deucha Shabbos. So therefore, they want to prevent everybody from doing it. Is there an issue that it came about through an Aveira? It's a good point, but I guess the answer is that no, first of all, because it's a done deal already, and second of all, because we talked about in the previous perek about mitzvah abah b'aveira, there's a few answers over there. One is that it's only if to begin with you wouldn't have the mitzvah without the aveira. Here they had them to begin with. In the middle of Shabbos, they put the stones on, but the aravos were in fact there. It's different, for example, let's say a person getting a lulav to begin with by stealing it, which is an example of mitzvah abah b'aveira. We also said over there are some rishonim who learn that the concept of mitzvah abah b'aveira is really only a problem primarily with mitzvahs that are meant to make us look good in front of Hashem, so to speak. Like shofar and like lulav, the arava is not necessarily in that category. It could also be, it could also be that the amei ha'aretz are the same ones who put them next to the mizbeach. And once they're there already, what are the chacham going to do? Tell them to take it down because you weren't supposed to move the stones? So, yeah. So anyway, the Baitusim hold that chibut arava is not derech Shabbos. Now we're mentioning chibut, which involves taking the arava in the hand and beating it. Alma benitilim. So therefore, that goes to show that the mitzvah of the arava involves not only putting it next to the mizbeach, but also picking it up. So you see, there was a component of picking up, not like Rabbi Yosef had been saying before that the mitzvah is only to stand them next to the mizbeach. So now we're back to the question. So first of all, Tzuvda, you're right. You've contradicted Rabbi Yosef. We've shown that in fact there is a part of the mitzvah of the arava involves picking them up. So now we're back to the question then. So why in that case, if Hoshana Rabba can come out on Shabbos, then fine, we understand why in Chutz La'aretz we're not going to do that because Sfeika D'Yomer, but why don't they do it in Eretz Yisrael? So then the question is, Ve'ela Nidchu. So given that there is an Atila, the Chachamim should have made a Zecher for that. We have the Zecher nowadays that we take the Arabas and beat them. The same way as they did that Natilas Arava in the Bais Hamikdash when Hoshana Rabba came out on Shabbos, why didn't the Chachamim make a Zecher that they should do the same thing outside the Bais Hamikdash, that even now we should do that on Shabbos? And the answer is no. Kibben da anan lo dechinen, inu nami lo dechu. Because since it's not Deucha Shabbos for us, because we don't know Kibur deyarcha, therefore, inu nami lo dechu, so it's not Deucha for them either. So this contradicts. Now before, on Omer Aleph, we said that for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it should be Deucha Shabbos. Now we're saying that no. As a matter of fact, not only by the Arava, but also by Lulav and Esrog, it's not going to be Deucha Shabbos for them either, because it's not Deucha for us. In fact, there is an interesting point that a couple of Achronim make, the Maharashdam and I think the Orochaner talk about, or the Netziv, whatever, talk about that it's one thing, for example, you have, let's say, Minhogim that developed in different places, then fine, we're not going to, then no problem. Different places have different Minhogim, then big deal. But here, so Rashi uses the expression at the top of the next Amud, Shaloi Lassis Yisrael Agudis Agudis. We don't want to make the Jewish people into different factions. So when the Chachamim are going to make a takana to begin with, they're not going to make it that it should be different for Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Babel. So a minhag, for example, let's say that nowadays we have that in different places they lay in different parshiyos for some time during the summer. Okay, those are minhagim that developed in different places. No big deal with that. But here, now it's true, the technical issue of loitz goydidu is only when you have two kehillas in the same place that are, or maybe even two groups within the same shul that follow different minhagim. One place where this is very negeya nowadays is Chol HaMoed, whether you wear tefillin or not. So you have, if you're in a shul where they wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, then you have, and your minhag is, as our minhag is not to, then you have a problem. And vice versa, if a person who wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed comes to a shul where they don't, you have to be careful about that because of loitz goydidu. Here, you don't really have that because you're talking different countries. Nevertheless, the Maharashtam explains that the Chachamim did not want to begin with to set up a takana that is going to be different in different places. Because even though it's not technically like it's going to do, it still violates the spirit of it. So once it's not doicha for us, then it's not doicha for them either. So the question is, what about the first day of Yom Tov? We said before that for us, Lulav and Esrog is not Deucha Shabbos, and for Bnei Eretz Yisrael it is. Amri. So they answered, no. L'didhu nami l'dochi. As a matter of fact, it's not doicha Shabbos for them either. The El Akasha Hanitauti. So then we're back to the question on Mem Gimel and Aleph. We brought the two Mishnayos. We said one Mishnah mentions them bringing the Dalad Minim to Shul and to the Harabayis before Shabbos. The other one mentions them bringing it to Shul before Shabbos. And we said one is when the Mismethish is standing, the other not. So why all of a sudden are you saying that now it's not Dur for Shabbos for them? The answer is no. Idi b'idi was mancha b'smithish kaim. No, both mishnayos are in fact talking about when the b'smithish is standing. V'loy kasha kan b'mikdash kan megvulin. So the difference is that one mishnah is talking about people who are coming to the b'smithish, so they would bring the lovim to the harabayis before Shabbos, and the other is people who are living in other parts of Eretz Yisrael and didn't come on the, or even in Chutz Laaretz and didn't come on the Yolaregel, so they would just bring the lovim to shul. But there's no indication from those Mishnayos that in fact that nowadays, after the Bais Hamikdash is destroyed, that we should take lulav on Shabbos anywhere. And in fact, we don't. Even in Eretz Yisrael, they don't. And the same way, if Hoshana Rabba came out on Shabbos, then even then, we wouldn't. In practice, what we brought before from Bahedia is when Hillel Hanasi created the Luach HaKavua, for a couple of decades after Bahedia and Robin, then in fact he said that part of the rules built into the calendar is that Hoshana Rabba can't be on Shabbos. But even if it did, then the same way as they don't take Lulav in Eretz Yisrael the first day when it comes out on Shabbos, the same way they don't take Arava on the seventh day, even if it were to come out on Shabbos. Okay. Everyone.